praise than one. For me, it's been especially a spiritual uplifting and refreshing, but also physically, and getting to see many that you don't get to see too often, and be with them. And you know, some of the younger people don't understand this, but the older you get, the more you enjoy reminiscing with one another. Amen. And we've done that about many different things. Of course, as most all of us know, usually at this time, every Thanksgiving, there has been another one that stood in this pulpit. Without flattering him, which I know he'd not desire, but I certainly do not feel worthy to any extent to take his place. I just feel the position that was open. But I must confess, that I greatly miss Brother Harold Harvey. I used to hear Brother Clark and Brother Titus speak of some of the old spiritual warriors as the Lord would take them home. Certainly we do not regret that, in the sense that we know that they're far better off, but the absence of their presence with us is what we regret. And I'd hear, like when Brother Healy went to be with the Lord, Brother Turner and many others I could mention, preachers, and I'd hear these preacher brethren talk about it. I knew Brother Healy, and I met Brother Turner, but I didn't know them really that well as I did Brother Harvey. But now I've experienced and understand, thank you, Brother Samuel, understand what it means when the Lord is pleased to take one that you're so close to on home. Not only that, but I'm humbled to stand in the pulpit of a great church that God has been pleased to bless for many years. And the church that I'm now pastor member of, and I'm not ashamed to say this, happens to be the daughter of this church. I do believe in mother churches. That's the only way I know they can get here. There's only two ways that anything can exist. They're either born or created. The Lord created his kind of church. And any kind that's created since then is not his kind. They're born from the mother, as the Bible says, Eve is the mother of all living. The New Testament church at Jerusalem that Jesus Christ started is the mother of all churches. And I'm thankful for that experience that we've had. I do have a cold that started about the first of the week and finally got to me today, so you bear with me. Appreciate Brother Samuel bringing me some water. I may have a coughing spell, but we'll leave that up to the Lord too. Turn with us, if you will, this morning to John chapter 14. We had thought for several weeks now that we were going to preach on the importance of the Lord's church and the dangers of ignoring it. But the closer we got, the less important it became to us, that subject. And finally, one day during the conference here, the Lord led us into a complete different direction. So you bear with us, if you will, as we certainly by God's help try to speak to you this morning on the subject of the triumph of God's troubled people. The triumph of God's troubled people. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Lord had met with His church here in this instance. In chapter 13, He tells us about how the Lord established the ordinance of the Lord's Supper with His church there in chapter 13. Many things were transpiring rather speedily, and as a result of this, no doubt His disciples, His church, had become very troubled. The devil was even in their midst, it said, as they met there in observance of the beginning of the Passover, and the Lord established the Lord's Supper. The Bible tells us that Satan entered the heart of Judas. So Satan was there, as he always is among God's people when they meet to worship and to serve Him. You'll come near finding Satan in a true New Testament church than you will in a beer joint. He don't have to be in the beer joint. They're led away of their own lust. Amen. But in a New Testament church, where God is being worshipped and served, Satan's always present to delude and to cause doubt in the hearts and minds of people. Not only that, but the Lord had told him that one of them, one of His own, would betray Him. And they didn't know who it was. They began to question, Lord, is it I? But the very idea of one of those in that closely knit group was going to betray their Lord was almost beyond comprehension, I could imagine. It's beyond mine that a child of God that's been saved by the marvelous grace of God and a member of one of the Lord's New Testament churches could ever betray Him, and yet I see it happening all the time. Not only that, but the Lord had pointed out to them that soon He would depart from them. And He would no longer in bodily form be with them, but would send them a comforter. All of these things, no doubt, brought great trouble to the hearts of His church. And the Lord speaks to them. More than anyone else, He knows our problems today. He knows our troubles. So many things that we can't understand, we can't grasp, as Brother Wilbert Ellis brought the other night, we just have to trust the Lord that all these things are His will for us according to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He encourages them. He knew their heart. He knew they were troubled. And He said to them, said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe in me also. Most of our troubles today that bring such despair to our hearts as a result of not really believing Jesus Christ. I'm not just talking about believing in Him, but believing. Paul said that he believed, not just believed in Christ, but he believed Jesus Christ. And there's a difference in believing in Him and believing Him. When we believe Him, we believe what He says. Not just He is the Lord, but we believe what He says, what He tells us to do and not to do. And so He told him, said, you rest in me. We as the Lord's people today are troubled probably as never been before. We're not persecuted as they have been in ages past, but we're certainly troubled. I don't know what we're on the verge of. I think of many things. But I do know we're troubled by the violent, wicked, immoral, and ungodly times that we're living in. If it doesn't trouble you, you are in trouble. We live in a God-hating society. I mean, people literally hate God and anything that has any reference to it. Amen. Our country is in great peril from man. I want to emphasize that. Our country is in great peril from man. Amen. And our only hope is in God. Whatever God's plan and purpose for us is. That's our only hope.
Amen.
We have the trouble of disease and destruction and death that none of us can understand.
Right.
I don't understand it, folks. I really don't. In 40-some-odd years of preaching, it always seemed like to me the Lord takes the best. You know, I think sometimes, Lord, why don't you let me pick them? But He doesn't. And I don't understand that. Crippling of human bodies that makes no sense at all. A few years ago, I saw a lady in our church had a type of Lou Gehrig's disease. And it was like somebody being in a prison. Her mind was as good and as bright and as vivid as it had ever been. And yet, she couldn't move a muscle in her body. All she could do was just blink her eyes and finally got where she could hardly do that. What a miserable existence that must be. I go into nursing homes and hospitals and I see people that, from my point of view, are just existing, and it's a terrible existence. In the human point of view, I don't understand that. That's troubling to me. I see victims of terrible diseases such as cancer, both young and old. And certainly I do not question God's plan and purpose, but I cannot help except in my own heart say, Lord, why? We, in a little while, will be leaving this conference where we've had a wonderful time. I mean, I've had a wonderful time.
Amen.
I sat and watched those young people as they sang this morning.
Amen.
I never saw one miniskirt.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I never saw one young lady with a pair of men's pants on. I never saw a young one man, not one young man with a seat of his pants hanging down around his ankles.
Amen.
I never saw any earrings in the young men.
Yeah.
And I said, praise God, there are still some young people that love the Lord.
Amen.
It's wonderful, folks, when I see so many other things in young people today that is so contrary to what God has taught in His Word. And we're going to have to leave one another after a while. I don't know how long it'll be before we get together again, but I long for those days.
Amen.
It troubles me and disturbs me to think that we're going to have to separate and face this whole evil, wicked world again. What I'm saying, folks, is today, God's people today, not only in the days of He and His disciples, but God's people today are troubled.
Amen.
And the Lord says to us, as He did to those disciples then, He said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in Me. Trust in Me. As Brother Dion said last night, I believe it was, folks, we're not to trust in the government, we're to trust in God.
Amen.
Someone said, pastor friend of mine was preaching, and his preaching having something to do with the candidates running for election, and he, of course, was preaching against abortion and immorality, and some man in his church stood up and said, I don't believe you ought to have politics in the pulpit. I'll tell you, that's where they ought to start from.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not talking about the pastor running for election, but I'm talking about the pastor telling you who to vote for. Not by name, but by character.
Amen.
Has nothing to do. People want to put all this having to do with parties. It's got nothing to do with parties whatsoever. It has to do with what's wrong, what's right.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. And then He says to him, He said, I'm going somewhere. I'm going to leave you, but I'm going somewhere. I'm going to a place where there's plenty of room already. My Father's house, there are many mansions. There's plenty of room, and we might say now there's a mansion now empty just waiting for me. But one day there won't be any empty mansions. Every one of them be filled. And then he also said he's going to prepare a place. The Lord will help me. I'd like to talk about this morning. A place for God's pardoned people. A place for God's pardoned people. Listen, folks, God's people hasn't lost. Oh, we've lost a few battles, seemingly, but we haven't lost the war. The war's already won. Fact is, we're just waiting to reach the victory ourselves. But the war is already won. We don't have to worry about losing this thing. What we need to worry about is enjoying it while we're fighting the battle. This place, first of all, is a real place. There's no truth on earth more certain than, folks, there's a heaven waiting for God's people. Jesus said, if it wasn't so, I'd have told you. There is a place for God's people. There is a place. Hebrews tell us that there remaineth a place of rest and peace for God's people. Won't be any more trouble. You know, the Bible pictures us in this life as being on a troubled sea where there's always storms and there's always boisterous waves. But if you'll notice, they always reach it safe on the other shore. Boat never sinks. And folks, our ship's not going to sink. The Lord's in the ship with us, and we're going to make it to the other side. This place that Jesus was going to is a real place. As a matter of fact, it's just as real as God is. The psalmist said in Psalm 73 and 25, he said, you know, my steps almost slipped. I was troubled. I was bothered. When I looked how the wicked prospered and everything turned out good for them, and I was having such a hard time until I went to the Lord's house. He said, then when I got there, I began to understand. What's wrong with most people today, folks, is you don't learn the real truth out in the world. You can't cope with the problems and troubles of this world till you get to the Lord's house where the Lord is and learn the truth. Then he gives you the strength to cope in this life we're in. If I felt that this life was all that I'd be ever to enjoy or have, I'd be totally despondent. I must say I've enjoyed some great things in this life, but they've never come from this world. They've all come from the Lord. No wonder the Word says, if in this life only we have hope of Christ, we of all men most miserable. If I thought there was nothing beyond the cold, dark, silent, lonely grave, I could say easily, better had it been, I'd never been born. But there is something beyond this life, folks. There is a rest for God's people. And that place is where God is today. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, God said, I will hear from heaven, and I'll heal their land. God's in heaven. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us there in the 25th verse of Psalm 73, though psalmist said when he got all these things straightened out and got his eyes on the Lord, set him on this earth, he said, who have I in heaven but thee? Folks, he's there. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, when the Lord gave His followers the pattern for prayer, He said, when we pray, we are to say, Our Father which art in heaven. Folks, it's a real place today. Amen. You know, we've heard about it so much that we've almost gotten to the place we just take it for granted without stopping and fully understanding that heaven is just as real as this place where we are today. Amen. It's there, folks. There's no greater and more certain truth on earth than heaven, for the Lord's people is real. You can't believe in God and not believe in heaven. Not only is the Father there, but the Bible tells us that Jesus is there too. In Acts chapter 1, after he had given them the commission, and he went out to the Mount of Olives, and they stood there watching him as a cloud took him up. And these men in white apparel said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up? The same Jesus that you see going away shall so come in like manner."
Amen.
He ascended to the right hand of the Father, and we know that's true because an old Baptist deacon by the name of Stephen over in Acts 7 and 55, when they were rocking him to sleep, he looked up and he saw the Son of God standing at the right hand of the Father. He's there.
Amen.
And that within itself would make it heaven. But heaven's real. Not only that, but folks, all the dear old saints of God are there too. Oh, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's no stopping over place, folks. There's no place where someone's got to stop and get someone else to pray or in some way, somehow, get enough merit to get on in the gate. If you know the Lord belongs to Him, when you leave here, you're there.
Amen.
You're talking about instant transportation.
Yes.
I was telling someone the other day, and there's so much about heaven I don't know about. I know very little about it. I know it's real. I know God's there. I know my Savior's there. And I believe with every fiber in my body that there are some people that I know and love that's there. A lot about it I don't know, but I couldn't help but wonder about some things. I remember, you remember Brother Wilbur Johnson and Brother Dempsey Henderson, if you ever saw them together. Of course, I could put some others in that group, but they're still with us. But Brother Johnson, Brother Dempsey was always cutting up and carrying on because they're both there. And then, of course, Brother Healy, Brother Mitchell Smith, if you ever knew him, Brother Mitchell Smith is unique. I just almost see him stumbling around up there in heaven. You know? And then, a few months back, Brother Harold Harvey, I can almost hear him laughing. He's probably singing, though. A lot about it I don't understand. But I believe with every fiber in my body, they're there.
Amen.
And I also believe I'm going to be one of these days when God gets ready. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior one day, you'll be there. It's real, is what I'm telling you, folks. This place, the Lord said, I'm going somewhere. He said, I'm coming again. Before I come again, I'm going somewhere. And He's going to that place. Look for me in Revelation 22. Revelation 22, I just want to read these first five verses. Now this is the heaven in the eternal ages, folks. Whatever that is, I know the Bible said it'll be a new heaven and a new earth. It said, and he showed me a pure river, water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. I read that, and I think sometimes how wretched and how miserable we must be when we're afraid for anybody to recognize us as one of his children. And here, folks, we're going to have his name on us. I mean, we'd be identified. I think of that, and I think of some of these miserable Christians today, or at least they say they are, that are not willing to identify themselves by scriptural baptism. You know, I think about this all the time. Oh, Rahab the harlot, the spies told us that because you believed in God and believed in His servants, we're going to leave, and One of these days we're going to be coming back with God's army. We're going to overcome Jericho. Tear down these walls. These walls are going to fall. And because of your faith in the God of Israel, we're going to give you the scarlet cord. And when you see us coming, when you see us on the march and we're coming for you, you hang that scarlet cord out the window to identify yourself as believing like we do. But you know the Bible says there in Joshua chapter 6, when those spies left, she didn't wait till she saw them coming, but immediately she hung it out. She wanted everybody to know she was identified with that God of Israel. Folks, and I want to tell you something today. I cannot help but believe if you know the same Lord that I know and believe the same truth that He's been pleased to show me, that you have a deep-seated desire in your heart for everybody to know who you are.
Amen.
And it said, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Reign forever and ever. It's a real place. Folks, heaven's real.
Amen.
It's where God is, the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all the saints are. That's gone on. And all that shall go one of these days, as 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 says, that one day there's going to be the sound of the archangel, the trumpet's going to sound, and Jesus Christ Himself shall descend with a shout.
Amen.
It said, then we're going to all be caught up together to meet the Lord in there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
Secondly, it's a place of royalty. This place the Lord tells us about here. It's a place of royalty. First of all, it'd be royal simply because it's the Father's house.
Amen.
Our youngest daughter, of course, for a year or two we had Thanksgiving in our house. And Miss Service is here. And our children like that. They like the mama's cooking, and the grandchildren do too. Because during the week, a lot of times they eat hot dogs and all that sort of thing. They come home and have ham and chicken and all that. You folks know what I'm talking about. So my daughter, youngest daughter, was talking to my wife and said, aren't we going to have lunch or dinner or something Thanksgiving? My wife said, no. Said, we're going to be at the conference. And she said, youngest daughter said, well, our granddaughter and grandson said, aren't we going to Papa and Mama's house? He said, no. They said, why not? They look forward to coming. I want to tell you, folks, I look forward to going to my Father's house. It's a place of royalty to me. Revelation 19:16 tells us about Him coming one of these days as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you will. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14-15. I'm talking about a place of royalty. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
I hope I don't hurt anybody's feeling. I really don't care about it if I do on this. But I used to be in the shrine, if you know what that is. And we used to go to the Almena temple. And we'd stand and, I don't know what we called it, doing something to the potentate. Now, if you've ever been to the shrine, you know what I'm talking about. He's a big dog. I mean, he's the biggest dog that's in the bunch. Of course, you'd go through all those hot sands of Mecca and all that junk. But I want to tell you, folks, there's only one potentate.
Amen.
And He's the only one we're to bow to. He's the only one we're to give allegiance to. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the only potentate, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, and said that potentate, our Savior, has made you and I kings and priests to rule and reign with Him. It's a place of royalty. Revelation 21, verses 22 and 23 and 24, and I'll talk about this a little later on, talks about that prepared place. Not only, folks, is there already mansions there for all believers and all saints, but Jesus went to prepare a special place for a special people. And it says that that special place, now as I said, talk about later, you're to send out of heaven, and all the saved of the nations of the earth are going to come there and bring their glory and honor to it.
Amen.
It's a place of royalty.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, there's coming a day when I believe the angels are going to say, as Brother Titus spoke a little bit about earlier, the angels are going to say, step aside. Here comes the bride.
Amen.
Folks, you know why? Because the bride keeps her eye on the groom. And the bride is always pointing to the groom, as old John the Baptist said, and all Baptists are supposed to say, I must decrease that He may increase.
Amen.
We're going to walk with Him into that prepared place, but all the saved of the nations are going to be there. Bring honor and glory to it. And then, first five verses of chapter 22, as we read a few minutes ago, of Revelation tells us we're going to reign forever and ever with the Lamb. I want to show you what I'm talking about. Some people don't believe this, but look with me in Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 46 and 47. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Not only that, but look in chapter 25, verse 19. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought over other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Folks, somebody is going to be ruling and reigning. It's a place of royalty. We rule and reign with our King of kings and Lord of lords. Not only that, but the Bible tells us that it's a place that's been reserved. I might also, not only is it reserved, but it's preserved. Old Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, and I forget what verse it is, but anyhow, he said, an inheritance incorruptible. I'm talking about it's preserved. It's incorruptible. It's not going to rot, and thieves are not going to break through to steal it. Undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith, ready to be revealed in the last day. A reserved place. Nobody's going to take it away. Nobody's going to steal it from you. Matthew 25, verse 34. Said the king shall say to them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You know, in verse 41 of Matthew 25, it said that God made hell for Satan and his followers. The same God that made that eternal hell for Satan and his followers has made an eternal kingdom and heaven for the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's there. It's eternal. But I said a few minutes ago, Jesus said, not only was there already plenty of room in the Father's house, there are many mansions, but He said to His church, the folks, heaven was already there. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. But to His church, He said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, the Lord always had that inner circle that was always with Him. Now I want to tell you, even when you get over there in the eternal ages, not just now, not just prior to the coming of the Lord, but throughout eternity. He's going to still have that inner circle. He's going to have that group that's always with Him. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, not just now. He's gone to prepare a place for us. And this church, this bride is going to rule and reign with Him. Look with me in Revelation 21. I know you're familiar with this and I won't spend much time on it, but I want to just give you just a little glimpse of it here. Revelation 21 said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. Won't be no more troubles there, folks. Won't be no more storms and nothing on it. It's going to be smooth sailing when you get over there, folks. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband." Then on down in verse 9, "There came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and told me, say, come hither, and I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And said, and he carried me away into the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, that holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and a light was like unto a stone most precious, even a jasper stone, clear and crystal." And it goes on talking about these wonderful, beautiful stones. And old Peter said, "We as lively stones make up that habitation of the Holy Spirit." The Lord's church, His bride, and God's wife Israel are going to dwell in that place that the Lord specially prepared for His people.
Amen.
Read the rest of that 21st chapter of Revelation. What a glorious place for the bride. And folks, I am a Baptist bride. I make no apologies for it at all. I believe everyone, as a matter of fact, I believe everyone in heaven will be a Baptist. Might not now, but when they get there, they will be. Because they'll know the truth when they get there. I believe that. Why else would they come, the saved of all nations? Why else would they come and bring their glory and honor to the Lord's bride? Because they recognize who she is. What's wrong with that? Jesus was a Baptist. He's baptized by a Baptist preacher. The only one that had the authority to baptize. If you'll study the Scriptures, you'll find out that Jesus Himself didn't baptize. And they said He was baptizing, but there in John 4, we said, really it wasn't Him baptizing, but it was His church, His disciples baptizing, which was the same as Him baptizing. Last of all, He said, "I'm coming again. If I go," and He did, "to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The Lord's coming. I thought about it as I sat there this morning. Brother Carey and his wife sang about Beulah Land. And you know, I could almost see on the other side. I used to, years ago, hear people make a joke about someone singing a song about being homesick for heaven, but it's no joke, folks, anymore. More and more, it becomes more real, more special to me. It's our loved ones and our friends and those that are dear to us, when the Lord takes them on over there, takes part of our heart with them. Brother Clark had a message, and I'll admit I preached it 3 or 4 times myself, not word for word, but pretty close to it. It talks about why he'd like for the Lord to come. And there are so many reasons, folks, I'd like to see Him come. Wouldn't it be wonderful if He'd be pleased today for God the Father to say, "Son, it's time. Won't you go down and bring my children home?" And all at once, you and I just be lifted up Leave this old sin-cursed earth behind. Gravity lose its pull. We slip on out of this old world. All of our troubles be gone. Somebody said, you know, when we get to heaven, we'll understand all things. I don't think so. I believe we'll learn throughout eternity. I don't believe we'll ever know everything. We just, you know, what a thrill is it today just to grasp just a little bit of God's truth.
Amen.
You know, you'd be reading the scriptures and listen to a preacher, and the Lord just open up your spiritual understanding and just give you a little sliver of truth in how you rejoice.
Amen.
Folks, when we get up there, we have far better spiritual understanding than we do here. The things of this earth will not hinder our understanding. And as God shall shed more light and more light to us of His truth, and we'll rejoice and praise Him for it. He's coming. Romans 8:37. In all these things, whatever the troubles are, whatever the problems are, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loves us. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We come down to a close. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 17-18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, in light of eternity, so short. You know, yesterday was Brother Wilbert Ellis' birthday, and I believe he's 49 years old. I'm 65, and it only seemed like just a few weeks ago I was 49. 14 years ago, we went to Clarksville, Tennessee. Lord called us there, and this church here sent us there, took care of us, along with one or two other churches. Been there 14 years, and it don't seem like it's been no time, folks. And we talk about the problems that we face here, the trials and tribulations. When we get into eternity, it'll seem less than a minute. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. Praise God for that. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We ought to thank God for the little trials and tribulations that come our way, because it increases our reward that's waiting for us. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul, writing to the Corinthians, quoting old Isaiah the prophet, he said, I have not seen, nor ear heard. You've never seen, you've never heard. Said, neither hath it entered the heart of man. You never even thought of the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. For a little poor country boy, they grew up down the sticks of what's called Dodsonville, right out of Clarksville, Tennessee. Never thought I'd ever get out of Montgomery County, as a matter of fact. But through God's marvelous grace and plan and purpose, I've seen some marvelous things. I mean, just things that overwhelm me. Brother Harold Harvey and I stood at the Garden of Gethsemane. We stood at the garden where the tomb supposedly is that Jesus was buried. We stood at the Mount of Olives, and if you've ever been around Brother Harvey, he's about like me, he's pretty soft heart. He's a great big old lunk of a fella, but he had a very tender heart. And we'd stand there and weep over the thought that centuries ago our blessed Lord walked and came right through these places. It's a wonder to me. I'd stand somewhere and couldn't sleep at night, look out and see those things that I never dreamed I'd ever get to see. I've heard a lot of wonderful things. And I've certainly thought of a lot of wonderful things. But I've never seen, never heard, never even thought of how great and wonderful those things are that the Lord has prepared for us.
Amen.
That love Him. But I praise God in verse 10 it says, but His Holy Spirit has revealed them. I haven't gotten a full view, folks. I probably couldn't stand it if you did. Not in this body. But I've got just a little glimpse of what's waiting for me. As I said a few minutes ago, it draws me ever closer and closer. That time when He's coming back for me, either in death or in person. I'm like Paul, I'd rather He come back in person, but really it doesn't matter to be absent from the body.